Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin. We're here tonight with our panel, and we're going to continue with our discussion from last week. Excuse me, the last few weeks. We were talking about being a hearer and a doer of the Word, and we were saying how we can hear truth but yet not understand it. Hearing but yet not understanding truth. And there are a lot of people that if we refuse to see or put Christ as the center focus of our hearing, then we can search the scriptures all we want. And in them we'll think we have life, but not realizing that they testify of Christ. Yes. See that? So the whole point and purpose of hearing is to focus on Christ, the victory that was afforded us at Calvary. That's where our victory, that's where we have the power to overcome sin, the world, self, Satan, and whatever else, our desires outside of the will of the Spirit. So we were talking about how we have to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. And so in James chapter 1, we see how he explains that, just to recap from last week. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. A hearer will deceive himself. A hearer will hear the word, hear truth, but yet deceive himself. And we said also how the Pharisees, they had the word of God at that time, the Pentateuch, and they, which were the first five books of the Bible, and they read those scriptures but yet didn't see Christ. They should have known, had they studied the Bible, to know and understand who Christ really was, or to understand God's position in the Bible, the whole point and purpose of it. They seen Christ in it as the coming Redeemer. They would have known that he was the Messiah. Now, the Jews, before we get into this, the Jews, they read the Bible. They knew about a Messiah. But because the scriptures prophesied more about the millennial reign of Christ, this Messiah that was to come. So all the Old Testament, when you read Isaiah and all the same, there was more prophecy dealing with the Messiah or the millennial reign of this Messiah. So they did not. So that's why when Christ stepped on the scene, they were looking immediately for a glorious kingdom and a glorious king to bring his kingdom here on earth. They didn't, they bypassed the fact that they needed a redeemer. See that? Amen. Now, they should have known, because all throughout the Old Testament, remember, there was a Levitical system set up to offer sacrifices for their sin. They ignored that. See? They made it ceremonial, and it just became a religious to-do or thing that they went through, a motion that they went through. Offering the sacrifice, they got to the point in Malachi, they were bringing lambs and animals that were blind, that were had deformities or defects. You're supposed to make sure that the animals were spotless. They got to the point where they were just bringing anything to God or to offer. So it became just a work. Mm-hmm. And they missed the whole meaning behind the ceremony. The ceremony was to point to a coming Redeemer. So when Christ stepped on the scene, they were just so enamored with, we a glorious day, the millennial reign. And we have to be very careful, because this same doctrine, and it's called the Kingdom Now theology, it tells the church that it's ruling and reigning right now. It says that we are spiritual Israel, and we have replaced God's people that were called way back when. If you study the Bible, you will know. See, this is why we have to exegete, we have to do exposition, and we have to do the homiletics, all that stuff. I'm not saying that we got to be theologians, okay? But what it means, exegete, just simply means that what does Scripture say? What does it, you know, we're trying to say what it say, exegete it to see what it means. Mm-hmm. Do an exposition, you're trying to see exactly what it's saying. And the homiletics, you're just trying to see how it applies to your living, life and living. See that? Mm-hmm. The problem with the church is that the church, we don't teach people the whole truth and counsel of the Bible. We teach an allegorical type teaching or scriptures where we don't give the literal meaning so people can make the decision on and see what it really said and what it really means and how to apply it to their life and living. So we get them saved. People realize they have a need, but we don't tell them the whole counsel of who Christ is and why he came and why he suffered, bled, and died. We don't talk about the sin or the sin nature. We don't talk about hell and its reality and the fall of man, you see. And so people just come, and you think about how often we go to church and what we hear as far as the services and how we get them to the altar. That seemed to be our goal. Get them saved. We count the numbers. But after that, there is no teaching, no discipleship, no understanding what happened. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. At the cross. So what do people do? Everybody goes and live according to their own way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You see that? They start, they live the word of God based upon their own understanding, and their understanding has not been converted by the Spirit of God because we've not pointed them to the right source, which is Calvary, faith in the cross, and that's the only way the Holy Spirit will move upon them to transform them.
Wow, amen.
And when he moves upon them as far as transforming, it is to, that's when we start getting an understanding. He has to put to death some things, my old thought life, my old way of living and thinking. You know, we all have biases, we have beliefs, we have superstitions, we have traditions and doctrines that need to be uprooted and cast down and thrown down so that God can build and plant the right way. So people come in and we do whatever is right in our own sight and say, oh, the Lord spoke to me. And everybody's saying the Lord said something. God said, why are they saying I said it? I have not told them anything.
Wow.
You see that? And so we have to be very careful because if I'm not in this word and the word will, God speaks to us through his word. And I have to get a proper understanding, not just reading it. Because I have to know what these words literally mean and what he's saying. And when you sit down and look at the literal meaning of the words, it'll spell out what God was saying. But if I take today's definition of a word or understanding, and this is where some of these translations and transliterations come in and mess people up, we start thinking that conversation means the way we talk to one another, but in the, you look at it in the Bible, and it means a lifestyle. See what I'm saying? So this is why we have to sit under a teaching or ministry that will help us, point us to the source, but at the same time, we have to get a proper understanding of how to study our Bible and how to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding of who he is. And if we point them to the right source, the cross of Christ, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to go back to James chapter 1. Any questions before we go any further?
Ms. D.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you know, like you said, you know, the church don't don't tell us the whole truth. So therefore, when you get saved and you are so excited about being saved, you just so carried away that you want the Lord, you just so carried away because you love the Lord. Then the next thing you go to work, because that's what they lead you to. Instead of leading you to, you know, to learn or to, how, like you said, how to study your Bible, how to read, and they don't give you that.
Right, right. And so now you have people in a wilderness,
mm-hmm.
and we're just going in circles.
Yeah, that's right.
How does Scripture go? Ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we can attest, you know, we've been under all these different preachers, and they come out with their fad and their doctrine. We thinking, and we're sincerely wanting to know the truth.
Right, that's right.
And but like you said, we're just running, and Satan purposely raise up these teachers, and you can be a false teacher, not that you seek after it, but just not having a proper understanding of the word of God or the cross of Christ.
Amen.
So we're sincere, but yet sincerely wrong. And so God, he has to try to get us back, point us to the right source so that he can mature us up in the faith. Very good point.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to go back to James 1, and what did I say? Did I say 23, Sister Sherry?
Mm-hmm, 23.
Okay.
23 through 25.
Okay.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
Okay.
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Okay. So we see here that a hearer only deceives himself, right? In the book of Judges, it talked about how when a judge would die, the people would do right as long as the judge was there. But then when a judge died, everybody did what was right in their own sight. Okay? So when we are hearers only, hearers will do what is right in their sight and think that they're okay, they're right. Look at Saul, King Saul. God just flat out told him, what you're doing is wrong. He couldn't hear it. He could not see it. You ever talk to people and you can be saying the same thing, but they're so engrossed with their own, what's in their own mind and what they want to do, that they don't hear nothing you saying, and they just sitting there arguing with you, but y'all saying the same thing.
Amen.
This is a person that they're a hearer only means that they're deceived. They deceive themselves because what's in the heart and in the mind is what they want to do. So anything that's said that's contrary to what they want, they reject it.
Amen.
This was the problem that God had in Hosea. He said, my people perish due to a lack of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, God was constantly speaking and talking in the Bible. Constantly. And it got to the point where he was silent for, I think, 400 and something years. Why? Because they refused to listen. They had in their minds what they wanted to do, and they created their own ways, their own desires, their own wants. And then they even just started, like when the Philistines came against them, I think it was, they just made God's Ark of the Covenant something that was superstitious. So what did they do? They say, oh, we're losing. Let's go get the Ark of the Covenant. Don't we do the same thing? Oh, we don't deal with God, but when something happens,
yes, amen.
Let's go rub the magic genie. Let's go rub it and see if we can get them to come out and show up. Show up, Lord. And then when we think he shows up and we get what we want or whatever, we put him back in the bottle, hide him, and don't deal with him anymore. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And so what happened? The Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant. They said, hey, we're going to do the same thing, but they got different results, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what am I saying? We have to learn how to hear and do. Hearing and doing, and we're not going to go all into that because we've gone through it before, but we know that we have to hear and hear with an intent to obeying the word. That's all it simply means. When we hear, it's with an intent to do what God requires. So when I hear, that means when I leave from wherever I heard the truth, I got to apply it to my daily living. I got to learn how to sit under God's teaching. Let him deal with me. Let him take out. Sometimes we might be pouting and upset and disappointed, but the more we learn how to walk with God and allow him to change us and to transform us, the easier it becomes.
Amen.
Amen. So he says in 23, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way. This is the problem with the hearer. We just explained it. They go their own way. We go our own way. We can hear the word and then we got an opinion or a belief, and I don't care what you say. We ain't bringing it down. because this is what we believe. You see what I'm saying? And guess what? God has a way of humbling. That's pride.
Yes.
We think a prideful person is just a person with money and material, but no, a prideful person can be a poor person that has nothing. It's the position of the heart. Has nothing to do with the material things in life. It has everything to do with the posture of our heart and receiving from God. So he says he beholds himself and goes his way. It's not God's way, it's his way. Now, I'll go my way and attach God's name on it. You say, God said. But that's not the way I know whether God said it or not by inspecting your fruit.
Right.
See that? And so this person that here's only straightway forgets what manner of man he was. So we don't do a proper evaluation of ourselves. This is why the Bible says examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith. Every day we have to make sure when a circumstance happens or not even, you know, situations or whatever, we're supposed to put ourselves last. And we're supposed to say, you know, Lord, there's a need. And there's and I see where I can step in. Sometimes we'd be like, I ain't doing it. and a lot of times it's a test. God is saying, okay, you haven't properly evaluated yourself. Now, we say we Christian, we love the Lord, and we do. But as soon as God try to put us to the test with something very small, we put ourselves ahead, a first, and what we want. And God said, you don't forget straightway what manner of man
wow.
you were.
Amen.
You didn't properly evaluate yourself. Somebody got mad with you and upset, and first thing we say, oh, I ain't going to have nothing to do with it. Especially if we were the ones that offended. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be the ones to go and get it right.
Amen.
But the first thing we've done, they ain't talking to me, I ain't talking to tit for tat. And that's not, he says, no, you, this is the perfect opportunity. Even if they were the ones that were the cause of the situation or whatever it is, you know, we're supposed to be the ones that are calling ourselves Christians are supposed to be the ones to extend grace.
Right. Wow.
See what I'm saying? And peace. Yeah. And mercy. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving you what you do deserve.
Amen.
You see?
Amen.
God could give you mercy. Is that. So the same way he extended, and this scripture always stands out, while we were yet sinners,
yes.
while we hated him, while they falsely accused him, pulled the beard off his face, the crown of thorns, whipped him, Christ died. See that?
Yes.
While we were sinners, Christ died. And that's and then we can't even deal with somebody that offended us in some small way. So he says, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, and we said that Christ is the perfect law of liberty, and you have to continue therein. Notice that. Continue. So there has to be a continuous abiding in God's word. It's not that we accept God's word one time and, okay, I got it, or I walked in obedience one time. And, no, it's a continuous.
Yes.
We have to keep doing it. And then not only did he say keep doing it, and he being not a forgetful hearer. See that?
Mm-hmm.
We can't be a forgetful. How many of us forget God's word when it really counts? When it matters. In the heat of a moment or the situation, that's when God's word should come back to our minds.
Amen.
That's when God's word should be applied. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we can get to the point where we may know the truth, but God and others that weren't brought up under the same teaching or understanding, sometimes we can get a little ahead of ourselves or beyond ourselves and think more of ourselves than what we are. But when the Spirit
mm-hmm.
of God deals with us and we're reminded, he said, forbear one another's fault.
Yes.
Ye that are spiritual, restore, lest you be tempted. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so we can easily point out the faults in others, but he says, be careful lest you be tempted, because the same temptation they fell in, it can happen to us.
Amen.
So this is why it's important. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What does he say about this man?
If any man among you seems to be religious,
Go back to 25, Sister Cherry. I'm sorry, I read the second half. It says, and he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what?
Blessed in his deed.
See, so it says obeying the word of God brings great blessing. However, the only way it can be obeyed is for the believer to unequivocally place his faith in Christ and the cross. See, all this stuff that we turn around three times and name it and claim it, that's not how we're blessed.
Amen.
That's not how we're blessed. And these are fads and things that people come up, and then when we don't know truth or walk in obedience to it, and especially when we're young in the faith, those things sound good. Those things sound easy because what? I can perform it. That's me doing the work of God, or a work of God, my work of God, in my own strength, in my own energy, in my own power. I won't be blessed in my deed. I'll be burdened. Initially, it'll feel like, oh, hey, good, yeah, uh-huh. But look at Martha's attitude. After a while, she was doing a good thing, serving. Serving was good. But why was she angry at Mary for not helping her? You see that? Mary wasn't looking in the perfect law of liberty. I'm sorry. Martha wasn't looking in the perfect law of liberty. Mary was. Mary got it. Mary sat, and Christ is the perfect law of liberty. See? He's the perfect law of liberty because he is the word of God. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, right? And then we go down to John 1:14 and what have you. It says the word became flesh and we beheld his glory, right? So we can't just look one time. What did Mary do? Continue therein. And we cannot be forgetful. But a doer of the work. This work will be created in us by the Spirit.
Amen.
See, we will prove what is good and acceptable in the eyes of God. We will prove to men as we walk in there. I may not ever have to preach anything to anybody on the street. I may not have to do anything, pass out a tract or whatever. But when they see my life
right.
and me being a doer of the work of God and continuing to look into the perfect law of liberty, guess what? And not forgetting, I'll be blessed in everything I do, whether I'm on my job, whether I'm tending to my husband, whether I'm dealing with my children, whether I'm dealing with fellow believers. You see what I'm saying? People are watching our fruit. And when they see your fruit, they'll be drawn to what you have. They want what you have. And you and I have to be careful because we have to point them not to my ministry, not to my pastor, not to me, but guess what? To the same source that produced the fruit in me. Come see a man that told me all that I ever was. You see that?
Yes. Amen.
And then people won't, they'll be like, oh, wait, we heard her testimony. She pointed them to Christ, and they wanted to see or go to him for themselves. That's what our testimony should do for others. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to go to Hebrews 5. Any questions or comments?
If the Christian would act like that, and when you see them, you know they're talking about the Lord, and they can give you a word that would make you want to go to God for yourself.
Amen.
Like you said.
Amen.
Girl, I tell you, this race would run a whole lot better.
Yes, it would. Amen. Yes, we would. Mm-hmm. So, in Hebrews 5, we're talking about just what you just said, pointing people to the cross or to Christ. Now, look at this example. We're going to start at verse 1. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to pinpoint some verses to read, okay?
Well, before you start reading, when you were saying I believe also, I know we discussed this before, people have such a general Jesus. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they're not pointed to the cross.
Right.
They probably may not even hear about the cross, if they hear about the cross when they do the sinner's prayer.
Mm.
Or when they come forth and they don't actually know what saved them. They don't know if it's the baptism. They don't know really what saved them.
Very good.
And so then you go into these classes and then you learn all these scriptures,
mm-hmm.
but nowhere to really relate or place them. So they become head knowledge.
Yes.
Ooh, amen.
Yes.
And not heart knowledge.
There you go. And that is so profound because
yes. That's
where, because we've all been there. You know, some
mm-hmm.
things.
Right.
I've read the Bible and I would read through it or what have you, but it's just like you didn't know how to put all that information together.
Right.
And so you got, like you said, these different beliefs and this and that and that. But how does it, we never really saw how Christ or what he's done, it was never explained.
Right.
No.
So, like you said, we have to get, we have to sit where we, under some ministry where we can be taught to put it together. And the Holy Spirit will lead us all into truth.
Yes, he will. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
He got to get us to the right object of faith. And that's the problem. People are teaching all these different things I'm getting a little feedback. Y'all hear it?
I do.
Okay. So people are, taught all these different things, but they're like confused at how it applies to daily living. What has got to do with salvation?
Right. Yep.
What do you mean I'm justified? Mm-hmm. So you say somebody, are you saved? And today, one thing that used to get me, people always say they're saved, and you look at the fruit, and you're like, okay. So now it's just so easy to say you're saved and say God, and I believe in God, that
mm-hmm.
everybody's just saying, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, yeah. So everybody, you would think, were saved. Just because they said, I believe in God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So we made it so generic that there was no separation from who was sincere and who wasn't.
Right.
There was no teaching to, and so sometimes God has to allow the division to make clear who's standing on truth and who's just saying they're about truth.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. All right, so y'all at Hebrews 5, and I'm still getting some feedback for some reason. Y'all hear it?
Can you hear me?
I hear you, uh-huh.
Oh, well, I hear the feedback, too. I was just saying that people would come and say they believe in God, and I would always ask them, what God do you believe in? And then they would look at me kind of funny, what you mean with God? And I said, well, I serve a God who has a son named Jesus.
Right.
But now I put another God, but where is your object of faith?
Right.
Or do you have an object of faith?
Exactly. And if you keep going and keep, like you said, continuing therein, looking to the perfect law of liberty, you'll find out where their object of faith is. If you keep pressing it, because it's so easy to say, I believe in God.
Right.
Right.
But God, the word will find each one of us where we're at.
Right.
And he will reveal the fruit. And if we're spiritual, you'll know where each one is.
Amen.
Amen. Not that you're being critical or judgmental, but it's just discernment, and you know who and what you're dealing with and how to properly. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's not that we're trying to, oh, you this, I'm that. No, it's not that. It's just that the Spirit of God says know them by their fruit. Test the Spirit by the Spirit. Because everybody's not, and we're going to see that in 2 Timothy in a minute, everybody's not of the faith.
Amen.
So let's go to chapter 5, and we were talking about continuing therein in the perfect law of liberty. There's so much about Christ and his role. He served in several roles. And if we look at some of the offerings and some of the ceremonies that they went through, and even looking at the tabernacle and the temple and looking at Genesis, you see Christ all in Genesis. He's almost on every page, every page. If you're not looking for him, you just reading the Bible because you want to know it in your head and not in the heart, and you want to get a little knowledge and become puffed up. You want wisdom like Eve, but apart from God's way. See, she wanted wisdom and knowledge. And there are a lot of people in church that, and behind pulpits that just want wisdom, but they guess what? They're going about it another way. And Satan knows this. The same temptation that he offered Adam and Eve and Christ when Christ was in the wilderness, what have you, each one goes through that same, each of us go through that same test.
Yes.
Will you say it is written and know what is written? Or will you just quote scriptures and think that you have life but don't realize that they testify of Christ and his atonement?
Amen.
So here in Hebrews chapter 5, let's start at verse 1. I kind of want to dig around and let us see how the woman at the well, she said, come see a man. They went to him for themselves. She went in details about some things. Let's see what they're saying here about our high priest.
For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifice for sins.
Okay, so this is talking about a earthly high priest, like of the line or the lineage of Aaron. What they did, it's talking about frail men. It said they were taken from among men. It pertains to the frailty of men. And the gifts refer to the thank offerings, while the sacrifices referred to the animals being offered. All of them were types of Christ. Okay? Keep going.
Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmities?
So it's talking about they were just men. These were men taken from the lineage of Aaron and Levi, what have you, and they were chosen as the high priest. They were frail men that also had to have atonement made on their behalf. So when they would, when these high priests would go in on the Day of Atonement, they put the rope around their waist or their leg or what have you, and they had bells on the bottom of their fringes, their robes. And so if they went in there incorrectly, before God, some of them would drop dead, and the people would knew they heard they ain't hear no more bells. They pull them out.
Wow.
This is how it means that they had to come correct. They couldn't just go in there any kind of way. Okay, all of this was pointing to Christ. So these were frail men that needed. Also, they had to do things, these ceremonies, offer the blood precisely according to God's the way that he showed Moses. And if they did not, they would drop dead. And when they did go in there and they show up the right way, they will offer the sacrifice for themselves and for the people. Let's keep going.
And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And
okay,
no man taketh his honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron.
So it says under the old law, the only ones who could offer these sacrifices were priests who had to be sons of Aaron and whose order was ordained by God and not man. Okay? Keep going.
So also Christ glorified not himself to be an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee.
So Christ... I'm sorry, Sister Chair, I'm going to read this right here. It says, proclaims the fact that this was no personal ambition on the Messiah's part that resulted in him becoming a high priest, but rather the fact that God called him to that position. See?
Amen.
He was fully God, but yet he came into this position fully man, but without sin. So the difference in Aaron's, the priest of Aaron, high priest of Aaron, is that They were sinful. Christ was not. He took this upon. It wasn't glory or personal ambition to do this. He wasn't sinful. He could have said, I'm equal with you, and I'm not going down there. But he said, Father, prepare me a body.
Yes.
See this? So had he not, he would not be a mediator between us and God. He would not be the one. He wouldn't restore us, our relationship, because sin through Adam and Eve, the fall, separated us. So we needed a mediator. No man was could approach God. See this?
Amen.
So this is one of the roles of, that Christ played as a high priest. So keep going, Sister Cherry.
As he says also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Okay, now in the last part of verse 5, it says, but he said unto him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. It says the priesthood of Christ was planned by God from the very beginning, which meant the incarnation was absolutely necessary. God, through foreknowledge, knew that, that man would fail. He knew that Lucifer would fall. He knew that. Through foreknowledge, he knew. So Satan can't outsmart God.
Amen.
So he, this plan, Satan didn't understand. They didn't understand. The angels, they didn't understand it because they don't need they don't need to be redeemed. We're like a university for them. They're watching like, oh, wow, what's going on? Why? We're a university. We're one of God's greatest creation. See that? And so here he came, and this was a great plan that, that none of them, I don't care how powerful Lucifer or Satan might be, he can't out. God takes the weak things. See, he take the weak things and outwit Satan. Keep
Amen.
Going.
V6.
Yes, please. I'm sorry.
As he says also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
Now notice this. He prayed that God would save him from death. We look at it and say, well, he died on the cross, so how did God hear and answer his prayer? Listen at the notes. It says, this presents the prayer life of the master. And it also presents the prayer for resurrection. That's what the deliverance from death was. He was resurrected from the dead. And God heard, and God answered that prayer. See that? Most people, if I'm looking at it in the natural, if I'm hearing only, I'll look at it in the natural. Physician, save yourself. See, I wouldn't understand that he had to die. I don't see the extent of why he died. But because they were carnal and they only saw things as mere men, they sat down and ridiculed him and said, you saved others, save yourself. Come down from the cross. See that? If I'm a hearer only, I will not understand divine things nor from a divine perspective. I will walk in ignorance and in a way that's contrary. See, all these things that's happening in the world will ridicule you and I because we're not looking at it from a carnal perspective. We're not supposed to.
Right.
The world will ridicule you because you're not doing this or doing that. But Christ prayed, and Christ knew that his prayer was answered. How God resurrected him from the dead.
Amen.
So let's keep going. Verse 8.
Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
Now, this word, though he were a son, it says it stresses deity, but at the same time, the role of Christ as a son of man. Now, it sounds like he had to learn how to obey, but it says here, it doesn't mean he had to learn to obey. That would have meant he was a sinner. He sinned. It means he actively sought out the path of obedience. This is what you and I have to do. We have to actively seek out the path of obedience, meaning remember to be a hearer and a doer. This is what Christ was doing. This yet learned he obedience meant that he took the scripture and applied it. Lord, I just want to do your will. If there's another way, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, thy will be done.
Amen.
He did this as a man fully dependent upon the Spirit of God. See that? He was actively seeking out. That's why he could be tempted in a wilderness, but yet he said, it is written. You and I have to actively seek out the word and the will of God in our day-to-day activity. Every little small thing. It may seem small to us, but in the eyes of God, God is pleased when we take his word and actively seek out obedience.
Amen.
So he learned obedience. Guess what? Guess how I'm going to learn to walk in obedience, to be a doer of God's word? By the things which he would.
Suffered.
Uh-oh. That right there count how many people out. You see, we enter in the kingdom of God through what? Much tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
See that? Wow, we already established the fact that it is the tribulation that's going to develop us and give us the patience, give us the character, the experience. And the experience will give us the hope. Now, if I just want to hear the word, go get a good word, oh, yeah, that's good. I want to be entertained. See, there's a lot of people, a lot of us, we were groomed and brought up in church to be entertained. That's carnality.
Right.
See, you go to church and they don't sing a song or they don't play some music, most of us be like, service is okay. Yeah, because that's that. See, the enemy know how to play on our emotional side. I got to be pumped and primed in order to worship, do praise and worship. Something ain't right.
Right, that's right.
You see what I'm saying? Most of us, we look for the thrill and the entertainment in life. Oh, if I got to be entertained, I got to do something, I got to find, But what about picking up your word, you know, from time to time and just getting excited about knowing the truth and the mysteries behind God's word? We fall asleep. Y'all see? So God has to teach this old carnal life how to align itself with the spiritual things. Those things are what he has to teach us, our spirit man, how to be excited about the will of God, the word of God. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And this comes through walking in obedience. We have to learn obedience. And the obedience will come through the things that we encounter, the trials, the tribulations. Y'all see all those things that we go through, the things that he suffered. That's what he learned obedience. It's concerned the entire course of his life, but more so the cross. From when he was born, the persecution to kill him as a child, the ridicule from within his family, see that, with his siblings. Not having the same daddy. They had their daddy, you know, he didn't. Can you imagine growing up at that time? Because Mary, I'm sure, you know, Joseph wanted to get rid of her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So during that time, knowing, hey, that's not your daddy, and the ridicule from other kids and people. So all those things, the culmination of everything he encountered in life, those things that he suffered, he didn't take it and say, why I have to go through this? I'm a victim. I can't. No, he overcame. He used those things to propel him in walking in obedience to the will and the way of God. Now, verse 9, keep going.
And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
Now, if Christ being made perfect, and let me read the notes. It says, refers to being brought to the goal fixed by God. That's how we're perfected. It's not that we're perfect. He was perfect in all aspects. We can become perfect or mature. This is what the word, we're being perfected by the Spirit of God as we walk in obedience to the word and the way of God. So he was brought to the goal that was fixed by God. This is what God is doing for you and I. The only way we can be made perfect is to fix our eyes on God's goal. Each one of us have a course laid out for us. And we already established the fact that when we go to the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ, he will determine how much of that course we accomplished. Did we let our flesh get in the way? Were we just too scared of being ridiculed by man? Did we want the praises of men more than the praises of God? And I don't mean men in church. I mean men. We want people not to be mad at us and people not to dislike us. And we just kept the things to ourselves and didn't say nothing because we didn't want to start no confrontation when the Spirit of God could have been trying to change us so that we stand out like sore thumbs. He says, now that you are the light, don't put a shade over it. Mm-hmm. Don't cover it up. If they don't like you because of your stance, who are you trying to please, them or me?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And so this is the only way we can be made perfect. We got to be brought to the goal that's fixed by God, which had to be if he was to be the perfect sacrifice. That was his course, to be the perfect sacrifice. Just like they brought the lamb and the animal and they had to inspect it to make sure that there was no blemish, this is Christ. He was the perfect sacrifice. He obeyed the law perfectly without sinning. He went through the temptation without failing. See that? What
yeah.
Adam and Eve should have done, he as the last Adam, went through it and passed it with flying colors. And he became what? The author of what, Sister Cherry?
Of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
See, this is his, it said, proclaims a perfect salvation. This is what Christ accomplished. Had he come down from the cross, guess what? We would not have an author of eternal salvation. We would be eternally lost. So because he was and is the perfect redeemer, because he was the perfect sacrifice, he became the author of eternal salvation.
Amen.
Unto who? Sister Cherry, keep going. Unto?
Called of God and
I'm
high
sorry.
Priest.
The, oh, read that verse now. Unto that last part. I know I'm flipping it up. That last
unto
part.
Unto all them that obey him.
Now, he is not the author of eternal salvation unto everybody that to everybody. Notice this. He said, unto all them who what?
That obey him.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
So, if I'm a Christian and I don't walk in obedience to him, he is the author of eternal salvation unto all. There's a reason why he put this condition in there. Everybody trying to get the blessings of God, and everybody trying to say, "Oh yeah, I'm blessed and highly favored." But if you're not walking in obedience to him by exhibiting faith in his word and suffering with him, as he said above, you're not going to benefit. You're not going to get anything from the benefits of the cross.
Amen.
You see that? In this life, when they said, Master, we left all to follow you. You know, what's going to happen? What's the deal? We left everything, our family, our businesses. He said he will reward them in this life with whatever it was. I can't remember all the things that he named, but whatever it was they needed and some, he said, in this life.
Amen.
And hereafter, you see that?
Amen.
So, why? Because unto them who obey him. See that? Now, this is where I want to get to in verse 11, because Paul was trying to explain this to people, but there was a problem. Keep going, Sister Sherry.
Okay. Verse
11. Verse 11.
Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing.
Uh-oh, what was the problem? Paul had a lot to say. He had a lot to say.
Yeah.
But what was the problem?
They were dull of hearing.
See that? It says in the note, it says, of whom we have many things to say. He was just expounding a little bit on Melchizedek, but there were so many comparisons to Christ in the scriptures, so much to open up, right? He says, many things to say and hard to be uttered. His difficulty was in adapting the interpretation to the capacity of his readers. You ever try to explain something to somebody that's just not interested?
Yep.
And you try to figure out ways to get them to understand it and to hear and comprehend what you're saying. This is what Paul's problem was. He was having a hard time bringing it down to their level where they would embrace it. If they weren't, people not interested in something, I don't care how you put it.
Amen.
You know, some things that just sound hard. You get a mechanic today. An AC guy at work was trying to explain to me our AC was out, how he was going to fix whatever the leak was that we had, and he start going into this technicality, these terms, and I'm like, uh-huh, I'm trying to follow him, and then he had to break it down. Oh, okay, I got you. To a language, understanding, interpretation where I could comprehend it, because he was using some of their HVAC technical terms that I wasn't familiar with, you see? So he says here, hard to be uttered. He had a hard time interpreting this thing about Christ. Why? Because there was no interest. They were dull of hearing. It says, these Jewish Christians were slow and sluggish regarding their understanding of the teaching of New Testament truth. So it made it difficult to teach them. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they were dull of hearing. Here we go again. This is another, if I'm just hearing and I'm hearing, they hear, seeing, they see, but they can't understand because they shut their ears and close their eyes, lest God could come and convert them. See, God has to convert us. He says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church.
Yes.
Everybody can't hear spiritually, mm-hmm. even if they say they are part of the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see why he said they were dull of hearing. Keep going, Sister.
For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the articles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
So this has to do with the hearer. Well, it didn't have anything to do with Paul and his teaching. It was the fact that Paul couldn't get them interested. And he couldn't get them interested enough to where they would take the word and apply it to seek to be a Berean. When the Bereans heard that, they took the word and they pondered, they read, they researched everything Paul said.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a hearer and a doer. It's the Spirit of God in you. When sometimes I hear some teachers say some things and the Spirit will prick me, and I just have to go dig and to know, not that I'm just being critical of them, but when we do that, God will reveal to you what teacher is worthy or worth listening to, because if they're dealing with truth and they're expounding it properly, the Spirit of God will prick you in your spirit, man, and you'll know, okay, that's a good resource there. And this thing will keep going forever and ever. And then you go from that one, and it'll lead to that. That person will go into some other area or another resource that they use. So it keeps going over and on and on and on. But the Spirit of God will put a break in your spirit when he reveals something to you that they may not properly be in line with. And so don't go down that road. Stay over here. You see what I'm saying? It's the Spirit that's doing the leading, but you and I got to be the ones diligent enough to pick the Bible up and try to research and find out the truth.
Right.
See that? And we can't just read the Bible. We have to study. There should be a time of devotion where we take, you know, to read it. But at the same time, I have to study it. I have to know what these words mean. I have to know what the context of the scripture is what it's talking about. I have to know the background. And I have to see, because if I don't know those things, the enemy will come in and change up God's word like he did with Eve and tried to do with Christ. He took part of the scripture and he left some of it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you and I are not constantly evidence and faith in the cross and applying this truth and listening by the Spirit of God, we'll be deceived by Satan because he can't present himself as an angel of light.
Amen.
So it says, for the time you ought to be teachers, it says, refers to the fact that they have been saved long enough to be mature in the word by now. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Talking about the Old Testament and what it really meant instead of the way it was being erroneously taken by these Christian Jews. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, they were not maturing in the faith. There was a lack of maturity because they weren't applying the word. They weren't applying what they heard and growing.
Amen.
So there's nothing wrong with milk, but milk is only for those who are babes in Christ. And once we take the sincere milk of God's word, we should grow. We're going to see it here. Keep going, Sister Jerry.
For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe.
Now it says this does not refer to one who has just been saved, but rather to those who have been saved for quite some time and should have advanced in the word of the Lord. So when it says they're unskillful in the word of righteousness, it refers to the benefits of the cross. So I can be saved, but yet unskillful in the word of righteousness, meaning I'm not being transformed. I'm still dealing with my old, with the flesh, with the world, with the devil. I can't overcome. I'm still stuck. I'm not maturing to where I'm overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. See that?
Mm-hmm.
I still got attitude. I'm still stubborn. I still won't, you know, give up my right to be right. Is my way or no way? This is what I'm saying. When I'm being skillful in the word of righteousness, I'm allowing God to tear down some things. And every day that I walk in obedience and surrender, it becomes easier. If not, he says, this person is still a babe. They've been in church all these years. They're saved, but they're not maturing. They're not changing. They're justified. Let's put it that way. They're justified. God declared them not guilty, that they've been redeemed. He dealt with their past sin. But for their present condition and their present circumstance, they still having hangups and hookups and can't overcome and still stuck in gossip and still stuck in and whatever. I'm just naming stuff. Strife and envy, jealousy. They can't overcome. They're still babes. And the purpose of strong meat, remember, he had much to be uttered, but because they were dull of hearing, they were babes, he couldn't go further. Verse 14, what happened?
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Okay, now you see that. Strong meat only belongs to them who are of full age. It refers to those who are mature in the Lord. Even those who by reason of use, I'm not mature because I've been in, got a title or a position, and I've been in church forever. I'm not mature because I'm behind a pulpit. I've seen many people with the name preacher, pastor, minister, or whatever, behind pulpits that were babes. They had man's approval. You see this? They were not mature in the word of God. They had man's approval. They were not of full age, and because of that, they became shipwrecked in the faith.
Amen.
See that? It says even the way you become of full age and on strong meat is by those who by reason of use. Use means that I have to take the word and do something with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have to use it. I don't just read it. I have to use it in my marriage.
Right.
Use it on my job. Use it with those family members we don't get along with or care for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Use it with people that may speak their minds and or whatever. You and I have to learn how to use the word, have our senses. It says, by reason of use, have their senses, what? Exercise to do what? Discern both good and evil.
Amen.
It's not enough to say I have it in my head, but I have to, by reason of use, have my senses exercised. See, the spirit man has to, the spirit man is that part of me that knows. The Holy Spirit speaks to my human spirit, and the human spirit can grow as I yield to the Holy Spirit. And what happens is, the more I yield, the more that my soulish man, my emotions, my desires, my thoughts, all that stuff align up with the spirit man. You see what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit. So if he invades every part, then the soulish part of me will be controlled. My body will be controlled by whoever. If my soul is in line with the spirit, it controls the body. The body's neutral. Okay? So our senses have to be exercised. I don't just get muscles by looking at the weights. What do we have to do?
Have to exercise.
We have to lift those weights and get engaged and move that body and whatever, right? Let me see how much time I got, because we can be going over. We are over. So we have to, having our, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's how I'm going to know what's good and what's evil, is by using God's word. My senses, my emotions, my desires, all that stuff has to align with the will and the word of God.
Amen.
So I didn't get nowhere near where we needed to go. On that note, we're going to close. We thank everyone for tuning in on tonight, and we pray that what was said will bless you. And those on the line, if you'll hold on, we'll take questions and comments. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see each of you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.